All right, a very good Saturday morning to you, Marlins Nation. Thanks for rewinding with us, Steven Strom here. Marlins fall to the Atlanta Braves 8-1 in game one of this three-game set. As always, for the recap, here's your radio voice of the Miami Marlins, Kyle Seeloff.
Well, the Marlins hung around here tonight. Opener of a three-game weekend series against the Braves, but unfortunately, a five-run top of the seventh inning by Atlanta did the Marlins in here tonight. Atlanta beats Miami 8-1. Welcome to the 10th inning show brought to you by Warner Hoffman, Greg and Garcia, your trusted workers' compensation and personal injury lawyers. Trevor Rogers, pretty darn good tonight again. It slipped away from the Marlins late. Gabby Sanchez rejoins me now. Gabby, what did you see out of the Marlins' loss here this evening?
I'm going to just look at the positive. Positive for me, Trevor Rogers on the mound. I started to see real good glimpses of that, you know, rookie season when he was an all-star and he was going out there and just throwing the baseball extremely well. So for me, that was very encouraging. The fastball philosophy might not have been 95, 96, but he was pitching today. Mm-hmm. And he was keeping that ball down. He was throwing the fastballs up. His changeup was really good today as well. So that's one of the big ones. Arise got on base three out of his four times that he was up. The defense, they played good baseball. We talk about Brujan at shortstop saving runs. Rivera at third base, he saved some runs. So that was really good to see because we have seen some problems with the defense so far this season. So that's encouraging news.
Right.
But you're right. It's just playing with fire too much. And when the bullpen came in, the walks are what's going to really kill you, and that's going to be the long innings. And that's kind of what we saw today. Andrew Nardi just was not locked in. He wasn't dialed in, and that kind of hurt him. For Soriano, came out good in that, you know, sixth inning when he replaced Trevor Rogers. And then he started to walk guys, and he gave up a double and walked guys. And again, that's the deal. When you're playing against a team like the Braves, you can't give them free passes. You can't give them extra bases because they are just too good offensively, and more often than not, they're going to make you pay for that. At the end of the day, it's just Marlins have to go out there and just keep grinding. You grind until finally you're where you need to be as a team. And I think right now they're just putting way too much stress on themselves. They're trying to do too much when they're hitting. They're trying to hit that, you know, 8-run home run that it just does not exist.
You know, I'll tell you the other issue too, Gabby, and they're not all cookie cutter, obviously. The Marlins are having a rotten time against left-handed pitching. And they're going to get a nasty one in Chris Sale tomorrow, and hopefully, you know, the worm turns a little bit for them there.
That's what you're hoping for, because last year they did have a lot of success against the right-handed, the left-handed pitchers, and just this year, and they've been facing some really good ones.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like they're facing these little thumbers who don't really do much. Nestor Cortez, probably the only one that was doing that, and he's still very tough to pitch because he can throw that ball 91, 92 miles an hour. Chris Sale is going to be another tough task on them, but he has given up hits. He has given up runs. So he's not the Chris Sale that you saw when, you know, he was throwing 97, 98 miles an hour, but it's still not an easy angle from a pitcher.
All right. Well, Gabby, drive home safely, buckle up, and I'll see you back here at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
No, you won't see me, actually.
No, I will not. That's right. I'll see you back here on Sunday. Kelly's with us tomorrow. That's right. All right. I'm sorry. I screwed up again, Gabby. All right. That's Gabby Sanchez. I'm Kyle Seeloff. Highlights from this ball game here tonight. Braves were off and running in the first inning facing Trevor Rogers. There was one out. There was a man on, and the man at the plate was Austin Riley. The 0-1 pitch, and that is hit fair past the dive of Rivera. This ball's going to roll all the way into the left field corner. Albie's lid flies off. He's rounding third. He's going to score, and the Atlanta Braves are on the board against Trevor Rogers. It's 1-0 here in the first. But Trevor would settle right in. As for the Marlins offense, they could not do a whole lot. They left a couple of men on in the first inning. Then they wouldn't leave another man on until the sixth. It was 1-0 going to the top of the fifth inning. Again, Rogers really settled in. He allowed a leadoff double. That was a common theme for the Atlanta Braves tonight. They had five of those. Leading off with a double in the fifth inning was Orlando Arcia. And then with two outs, Ozzie Albies made it 2-0. He's 1-for-2. Here's a little flare towards the gap in right center field. Chisholm dives, and he can't get it. That'll chase home Arcia from third. A two-out RBI single for Ozzie Albies. It's 2-0 Atlanta. And it would stay that way going to the top of the seventh inning. Trevor Rogers worked five. George Soriano came on in the sixth. Rodgers worked into the six, worked five plus, but he allowed a double and a walk to start the six. George Soriano came on, and in five pitches, he got a pop out and a 4-6-3 double play. So it was 2-0 going to the top of the seventh inning. Marlins were still hanging around. George Soriano stayed out there. He gave up a leadoff double. Then with one out, he walked Acuna. Then he hit Albies. With the bases loaded and one out, Austin Riley was the batter. He struck out. Then there were two outs, and Skip Schumacher brought Andrew Nardi into this ballgame to try to preserve this 2-0 deficit, and unfortunately that didn't go well facing Matt Olson. 3-2 the count, there go the runners, and the pitch is high ball 4. Andrew Nardi has walked in a run, and is an RBI for Olson, and it's 3-0. And the next man who really blew the game open was the former Marlin, Marcell Ozuna. He kicks and fires the 3-2, and that is hit on the line into left field, and that's a base hit. Acuna is going to score. Right behind him is Albies. That is a two-out, two-run single for Marcell Ozuna, who is 2-for-3 tonight. And now it's 5-0 Atlanta. And the Atlanta Braves would tack on two more in the inning. They got 5 runs on 4 hits. They did leave the bases loaded in the seventh, but that was pretty much all she wrote here tonight. Marlins did get a run off of the Braves. It was charged to Max Fried, who went 6 1/3, allowed a run, 4 hits. The run in which the Marlins scored, an RBI single, courtesy of Emmanuel Rivera, in the seventh. The Braves would go on to get another in the ninth. That was an Ozuna homer to the shrubs out in center field. And the Braves win this one 8-1 in the opener here tonight. So for the Braves, who improved to 8-4, 8 runs, 14 hits, no errors, 9 men left on base. And for the Marlins, a run, 6 hits, no errors, 6 men left on base. Marlins are now 0-8 at home to start the season, and they fall to 2-12 on this young 2024 campaign. Fried the winner, he's 1-0. Rodgers the loser, he's 0-2. Total time of game, 2 hours and 37 minutes. A paid ticketed crowd of 14,408 take this one in on this Friday night in Miami. It was a beautiful night for baseball, by the way, about 77 degrees and a light breeze inside of Lone Depot Park. For the Marlins tonight on the mound, they punched out 7, and that means that $175 will be donated to AutoNation's Dry Pink Initiative to fight against cancer. For every strikeout this year, $25 will be donated to the Dry Pink Initiative.
Okay, Kyle, thank you. Let's head down and listen to what Skip Schumacher had to say, get his reaction after the 8-1 defeat to the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah. All you want to see from the pitchers is to attack and to battle this lineup. Is that what you saw from Trevor here tonight?
Trevor did a great job. Yeah, I mean, even the hits were, besides Arcia, on the ground. I mean, on the ground, pull side, through the hole or down the line, 75%, I think, first pitch strike, something like that. Attack, on the attack the whole time. That's what you have to do against a really, really good lineup. And proud of how he went after him and kept us in the game. Sucks with Soriano because he had a, he did it really, really good, and the line doesn't suggest it, you know, when you look at the box score. But, you know, coming into a big spot, getting him out of the inning, first and second, it gets the double play. And then, you know, we set it up for Nards, and, you know, unfortunately walked a couple walks in his outing. But overall, I thought Rodgers and Sori did a really good job, just the line didn't show it.
For Trevor, he looked really confident out there today. What can a start like this do for him moving forward?
Yeah, I think he's the last couple starts actually have been okay. I mean, there's like one or two innings that, you know, you wish he had back, but he's pitching now. It's not just a few years ago he had, you know, like 97 and just kind of like, you know, big velo blowing it by guys. He's figuring out how to pitch, which is, you know, really a testament to Stott and the game planning that's going on. His changeup split has been really good. The sinker with the four seam now has been really effective. So I thought he's just he's becoming an you know, complete pitcher and not just like, you know, two pitch guy, which he was, you know, a few years ago.
On the flip side, what are your thoughts on Fried and what was he able to do against your lineup?
Fried's curveball was working really good. He'd steal some early strikes, and then, you know, was on the attack with the fastball up or with the changeup down and away. And he was, you know, kept going. We just kept, you know, the timing was off. So we were, you know, back and forth on the fastball, off speed, couldn't really sit on one pitch because he was, you know, having all his pitches working. A lot of ground balls today, you know, Arias, a couple guys had, you know, some nice days. I thought Jazz took some good at-bats, but overall just kind of a tougher day.
I know Soriano was able to get through the sixth inning, but was there consideration to let Trevor try to work through it?
That inning, I mean, I sent him out there to, you know, maybe go through Harris, I think it was. I can't remember exactly where the order was, but I think it was like I was going to have him go through Harris and have Soriano ready at RC or Darno, kind of in that area. And, you know, after, you know, a couple guys got on in a walk, I think it was a double and a walk, I felt like, you know, let's go ahead and try to get the double play ball, or, you know, and, you know, luckily it happened. But that was a really good job by him, at big time in the game. And then I know we were down 2-0, but, you know, I wasn't chasing. I didn't feel like I was chasing. I felt like we were still really in the game when I brought in Nardi against Olsen and wanted to keep it there to give our guys a shot. Usually he's more in the positive games or a winning game or tie game, but felt like that was a time to take our shot and use one of our guys in that situation. Just didn't work out.
Our first look in the regular season, at least at Vito and Short, just a couple of nice plays he made, just what you saw from him.
Some really good plays. Yeah, it's tough being a bench player when you don't play, you know, you don't play often and then you're expected to make every single play, especially at a premier position. So yeah, he had a really nice play of the middle, backhand. You know, there was balls that he kept in the infield that, you know, didn't get the out, but, you know, really nice game defensively for him. I feel like the swing is coming. It's tough when you're a bench guy and you don't get a ton of at-bats, so it's tough to get the timing. But defensively, he was outstanding today, and you know, with TA out.
I'm curious if there's any sort of messaging, obviously, as Braxton, barring a setback, and Cabrera, like, as they progress and they're getting closer to health, the starters that are currently there, is it almost like they need to be auditioning to try to stay in that rotation, or that's the mindset you'd like them to have? It's kind of making tough decisions for you guys?
In this industry, you're judged every single day. I'm judged. The coaches are judged. The players are judged. That's what you do. You assess every single day to try to figure out how to win tomorrow and put your best team out there. So I think what it's showing is, like, Trevor Rogers was on the attack. That usually helps you win games. Freed was on the attack. It helps you win games. When you're not on the attack, you know, it's tough to keep giving you opportunities if you keep putting us in holes, right? That's just the reality of the game. Not giving in anything new that they don't already know. I thought, Trevor with the sweeper was really effective against lefties. He was strike one a ton, opened up the zone a little bit for him so they could chase a little bit, because that team does not chase a lot. They are in the, when it's in the strike zone, they're going, and when it's not, they usually lay off. And I mean, it's a really good team. So for him to do that against that lineup, I thought was fantastic. And it shows, even against really good lineups, just, you know, try to put it in the zone as much as you can, and usually good things happen, even with a, you know, against a really good lineup.
Trevor Rogers battled in this one, went 5 frames, gave up 8 hits, 2 runs, 5 punch-outs, really weathered a ton of storms in this game, gave the Marlins an opportunity to win. Let's get his reaction to the loss against the Braves.
Yeah, I think confident is probably a good word. You got to be really confident against this lineup. It's probably the best lineup in baseball. All my stuff was playing really well. I mean, I got to give kudos to Nick. Nick did another really good job back there. Really just trying to attack the zone, just keeping it simple, and make pitches when I need to.
What was working for you stuff-wise?
I think my fastball and my two-seam were both complementing each other really well. Slider, it was good, but they just weren't offering at it today. I think my changeup was really good today. Really kind of just that 3-pitch mix today was really complementing each other. Really got out of some big jams, especially that changeup to Olsen in the third. And then that, forget who hit the ground ball for that double play to get out of a tough jam. So they helped me out a lot today.
When was the last time you felt this good?
Oh, jeez. I would probably say going on a year. The start against the Diamondbacks last April. I know we didn't get the win today, and that's what it's all about, but I think just for me, confidence and the way my body feels, it kind of feels that same way, as far as like that upward trajectory, just the way my body's feeling, my stuff's been playing. I just take it a start at a time and really just keep doing what I'm doing, and the results will continue to come.
Your change, if you used it a lot more than you usually do, at least percentage-wise, just What was it about that with the game plan today and just the importance of that pitch for you?
I think in the pregame meeting, we really talked about a lot of guys were really good throughout that lineup with in-zone spin. I really had to live on the edges with spin. And I think the changeup was probably the best option as far as secondary stuff. So we really stuck to that game plan and really being stingy with the spin on the edges. And, you know, you throw some strike spin, they're going to damage you. I think we just took that and we ran with it. Split was really good today. Got a lot of good swings and misses with it, and even some couple ground balls that found some holes, unfortunately, but pitch did the job and found some dirt.
Yeah, the two RBI hits, I think they were on the changeup, but were you okay with the location? Like the Riley one was low in the zone, mm-hmm. and the Albies one was off the plate.
Mm-hmm. I would say probably looking back, I probably would have changed the Albies one because he was kind of diving out there. But that's my pitch. I'm going to try and beat him with my pitch, so I have no regret there, but if I were to redo it again, I would probably show him some heat close before going back to that.
You mentioned the strikeout of Olsen. Just saw you actually show emotion there too. Just how, going back to the confidence, what did that moment in particular?
It was huge. I knew if I just executed the pitch that my chances were pretty good of getting out of that inning. I think the past two starts I've been feeling really good, that the just the small things weren't really going my way, and having only one walk today was huge. I knew if I just executed that pitch, it was huge for the confidence and the rest of the game for me going forward.
And Trevor, given the struggles that you've had with this team in particular in the past and how good this lineup is, I mean, leading Major League Baseball in the offensive categories, just what does this do for you moving forward?
I mean, like I said before, it's just a huge confidence booster. I think every guy goes through it with the doubt and self-doubt, and they're not going to help you. Those guys over there, they're gonna wait you out, and they're gonna figure out if you're nibbling or if you're gonna come right at them. So, really just stuck to my game plan, and Nick, Mel, we really had a solid game plan today, and unfortunately, we didn't get the W, but. I still trust all those guys in there, and we'll turn this around. I'm not worried about it at all.
I'm curious to ask Skip kind of version of this question, but you see Braxton's getting healthy, Cabrera's getting healthy. Is this something in the back of your mind, like, hey, I got to make sure, prove to them, like, I still belong here to go every 5 days?
It's something I don't worry about. Whatever happens, happens. I stopped worrying about that stuff a long time ago. I can control what I can control, and I'm just – super happy that those two guys are getting coming back healthy. They're huge for us, so whatever happens, happens.
All right, we're right back at it. It's going to be a 4:10 first pitch, which means I've got Marlins on deck at 3:40. Chris Sale goes opposite Max Meyer. As always, we hope you can join us on the Marlins Radio Network, driven by AutoNation.